Today's daf is Erev and Daf Zayin. We left off on the bottom of Daf Vavam Beis. We were about to get into the issue of paskening like two chumras that seem to go against each other. So that's going to be the first major topic of today's daf, is going to be whether you can follow two chumras of two opposing opinions. And in that context, we're going to get into Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. We're going to get into Bas Kol a little bit. And then the second topic on the daf is going to go back to the machlokas from yesterday's daf about how to fix a mavway that opens to Rosh Hasharabim on both ends, the three-way machlokas we had yesterday. And we're going to discuss possible cases where everybody might agree that building a door is unnecessary. Remember yesterday we had a machlokas whether you actually need to build doors or it's just good enough to have a Tzuras HaPesach Mikan and a Lechi V'Kari Mikan. And then the daf is going to conclude with a statement of Rav Yehuda about carrying in a mavoi whose back end opens up to an empty lot, and it's going to suggest that this statement goes against Rav. So at the end we're able to reconcile Rav Yehuda's statement with Rav's opinion, but it's going to take us some figuring out to see how Rav Yehuda can fit with Rav's opinion. So we left off yesterday. In yesterday's daf, the Gemara said that when you have an L-shaped mavoi, there was once a case, there was an L-shaped mavoi in the town of Narda, and the Chachamim accepted the chumras of both Rav and Shmuel in dealing with the L-shaped mavoi. What does it mean, the chumras of both Rav and Shmuel? We had two machlokos between Rav and Shmuel yesterday. One about whether an L-shaped mavoi has a din of a mavoi mefulash or a mavoi sasum, and then the other one, if you assume that a mavoi is a mavoi mefulash, how do you fix a mavoi mefulash? So in terms of whether it has a din of a mavoi mefulash or mavoi sasum, they went with the more chamor opinion that it does have a din of a mavoi mefulash, that it's considered like an open mavoi at both ends, even though it has a bend in the mavoi, so you can't walk straight through the mavoi, you'd have to make a turn to get to the Rosh Hasharabim at the other end. So we went l'chumra on that, on that issue, and then we went l'chumra on the other issue as well, that once we consider it a mavoi mefulash, that the way to fix it is by not just by making a Tzuras HaPesach Mikan and a Lechi V'Kara Mikan, but by actually putting up doors, even though you don't have to necessarily close them, but by actually putting up doors on one end of the mavoi. So that was like the chumras of both opinions. That's what the Gemara had said. So now, picking up again from, from the second wide line, Umiyavdinun Ketre Chumri, do we really follow two chumras? Are you allowed to do that? Vatanya Liola Malach Beis Hillel. Didn't we learn a brisa that generally speaking we always follow Beis Hillel? Varot Salasos Kedivri Beis Shammai Osa, Kedivri Beis Hillel Osa. But nevertheless, if someone wants to do like Beis Shammai, they're allowed to follow the Shitos Beis Shammai. If someone wants to follow the Shitos of Beis Hillel, they're allowed to do like the Shitos Beis Hillel. Mekule Beis Shammai, Mekule Beis Hillel Rasha. If someone chooses the leniencies of Beis Hillel and the leniencies of Beis Shammai, so he's just shopping for kulas, such a person is a Rasha. Mechumre Beis Shammai, Mechumre Beis Hillel. This is one that's important to us. If he follows chumras of two opposing points of view of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Allah HaKosav Omer, about him the Pasuk says, Haksil B'choshech Holech. He's a fool walking in the darkness. Eli Ika Beis Shammai Kekuleinu Kechumrein, Ika Beis Hillel Kekuleinu Kechumrein. If he wants to follow a Shita, he's got to follow through and through. Either follow Beis Shammai with all their kulas and all their chumras, mostly chumras, or you could follow Beis Hillel with all their kulas and all their chumras. Usually Beis Hillel is a little more makel, but you have to follow regardless of whether Beis Hillel is more machmir or makel. Follow them through and through. So so that's the Gemara's kasha. How can we say that we're going to follow the chumras of Rav and Shmuel both? You're not supposed to do that. Just like you're not supposed to follow the chumras of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Now Tosos over here, Umi Avdin and Ketrei Chumri, Tosos says Vim Tomar, Umay Sal Kadai Techashta, Kibin Dvo Sasra Adadi, Vichim Yishum Dehilchsa Kavase Becha Duchta, Yei Alach Kamoso Bekol Makom, Ubekam Makom Is Kaimelan Kamar Baha Kamar Baha. Tosos says, I don't see what the big deal is. Let's say Posek nowadays wants to paskin like Rav Moshe on one issue and Rav Shlomo Zalman on a different issue. Why? Because he thinks Rav Moshe was correct about one machlokas that he had with Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he thinks Rav Shlomo Zalman's sheet is more correct and another machlokas that Rav Moshe had with Rav Shlomo Zalman. Would you say no? You have to. He never learned by either one. He wasn't a Talmud of Moshe. Wasn't a Talmud of Shlomo Zalman. Never. He just learned the Svarim, and that's the way the Marora thinks that the halacha should be. When you say no, you have to lock lock yourself into only one opinion. You have to follow this rabbi through and through, no matter what he says. Why can't you say that the halacha is sometimes Beis Shammai got it right, sometimes Beis Hillel got it right, sometimes Rav got it right, sometimes Shmuel got it right? What's so wrong with saying that sometimes Rav got it right, something like that on the issue of whether it's called a mavoi mefulash or not? Maybe Rav got it right on the issue of how to fix a mavoi mefulash. Maybe Shmuel got it right. They're not really dependent on each other. So he says, Yeshlomar dol dami. Tahai mavoi shari b'tzuris ha-pesel chukuli alma. V'lekaman dimatrich d'lasos. So he says, no, over here it's different. Why is it different over here? Because this mavoi, no matter who you would have asked, everyone would have told you it only needs a tzuris ha-pesach. So if you have a case where every previous posek had said that such a mavoi will suffice with the tzuris ha-pesach and that you don't need to actually build doors, so for you to come up with a new chumrah that no one else would have ever said, meaning we're not saying that you have to pass like everything Rav ever said just because you pass like Rav in one place. You're allowed to, in other situations, paskin against Rav, paskin like Shmuel. That's fine. They were well within their rights in Naharda to do like that. But if you have a situation where you know that every previous gadol b'Yisrael, every previous Amora, paskin that lemaisa, the way to solve this problem is only by a tzuris ha-pesach, and that you don't need lasos, so then to be machmir more than all the previous shitos, that's beyond. That's what we have a problem with. That's what you're not allowed to do, to go with the multiple chumras. In Dibros Moshe, quotes here in the Yalkut Biurim in the Masifta, from the Dibros Moshe in Shabbos Simen Yud Anaf Vav, where you see he doesn't understand what Tosfos is answering. He says, even though this mavoi is mutav l'divrei hakol, he says vaday shayich sheyizbru narda b'din echad karav u'b'din hasheni kishmuel. Nevertheless, logically, it would still make sense if you paskin in one din like Rav and the other din like Shmuel, that a mavoi akum, this bent mavoi, would have a din of a mefulash, and by mefulash we'd paskin like Chananya, that we learned yesterday, like Chananya's understanding of Beis Hillel. So he explains that the Gemara knew that the Bnei Narada knew that a mavoi akum is definitely mutter with the tzuras ha-pesach, either because they held like Rav that even if it has a din of mefulash, a tzuras ha-pesach is enough, like the Tanakama, or because they held like Shmuel that it has a din of a sasim, doesn't even have a din of mefulash. But they were machmir like the chumrei shnehem, even though it was shloka din, because they thought it's better to be machmir just shlo yeshum pikpuk, meaning they knew meyikra din what halacha was. They knew meyikra din that they definitely would have been fine with the tzuras ha-pesach. But they figured we might as well be extra frum. We might as well be extra machmir so that we avoid any sort of controversy. So that's what the issue is. If they really weren't sure what the halacha was and they thought that maybe the halacha should follow the more strict point of view or the strictest possible point of view, senein achinami. But they could have done that. But they knew that the halacha was otherwise. That's how Rav Moshe understands it. Because they knew the halacha was otherwise and still they wanted to be extra machmir, that was a problem. Why is someone who follows the chumras of both opinions considered haksil b'choshech holech? So Rashi is going to say later on in Dov Zayin Amar Aleph that he's called a fool because the two dinim have one tam, and one din it's a kula, and another din it's a chumra. So if he holds like that tam, if he holds like the underlying logic, he should be knowing al pi that logic bein lahakel bein lahachmir. If he understands what's behind the different piskei halacha, so just follow the logic through and follow with Bein L'Kula Bein L'Chumra. In Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yudal and Beis, Rashi says something a little bit different. Rashi, Dibra Maskel Mikulei, says that someone who follows Chumras of two different opinions is a Ksil B'choshech She'eini Yodea Lahavchin Al Mi Lismoch, because he couldn't figure out how to paskin. That when there's a Machlokas, you're supposed to figure it out. You're supposed to figure out who's the more correct point of view and just paskin that way. The fact that he couldn't figure out how to paskin makes him like a fool who walks in the darkness. So from Tosos and Rosh Hashanah over there, doesn't sound that way. He says that if you do machmas safek because you don't know who the halacha is like, that's not foolish. Adrabah, that's what are you supposed to do? Guess? And if you don't know what the halacha halacha is like, so of course you go l'chumrah. So he says, it's only if you know who the halacha is like, and you still choose to do l'chumrah, that's where it's a problem. That's where it's considered to be a foolish thing. So now, parenthetically, the Gemara says, before we deal with our issue of how we could pass like l'chumrah of Rav and l'chumrah of Shmuel, the Gemara says, just this braisa that we quoted about Beisham Beis Hillel has an inherent problem in it. Hagufa kasha, amrit liolim halacha k'Beis Hillel. This braisa started out by saying that the halacha is always like Beis Hillel, and then the very next line of the braisa is, yeah, if you want to do like Beis Shammai, you could do that, that's fine. What do you mean? If the halacha is like Beis Hillel, how could you just fine, yeah, do like Beis Shammai, no problem. That's not the halacha. So the Gemara says that there are three ways to resolve this parenthetical problem. Once we resolve this parenthetical problem, then we'll go back to our larger problem of our case of how we could pass like the chumras of Rav and Shmuel. So let's deal with the three ways first of how to understand this braisa about the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So first way of answering is Lokasha. Kan kodem baskol, kan liachar baskol. Then maybe the difference is, one is before the baskol, one is after the baskol. There was a baskol that came out that told us that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Before the baskol came out, that's when we can paskin like the Beis Shammai. After the baskol came out, that's when the halacha is like Beis Hillel, that you have to paskin like the Beis Hillel. Let's stop there for a second. Says Tosfos, v'im tomer, maishna d'lo kaimelon kebaskol, d'rav lezer da'azav. He says, wait, all of a sudden we listen to baskols? A baskol told us that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, and it has us convinced we're going to pass on that Beis Hillel based on that. There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes, a very famous Gemara, where the Gemara talks about a machlokas about Tanur Shalachnoi. Is it Tame? Is it Tahar? Tum and Tara case. But it was Machlokas, Blazer, and Rabbi Shua, and each one tried to prove their point by having various miracles happen on their behalf to prove that they are correct, and it went back and forth and back and forth until finally a baskel came out and says that the halacha is like Rabbi Blazer, b'kol makom, halacha is always like Rabbi Blazer, and therefore we should follow Rabbi Blazer. And then the Gemara says at the end, of course we do not paskel like Rabbi Blazer, because lo b'shamayim hi, just because a baskel says it doesn't mean anything to us in halacha, it is lo b'shamayim. So Frek Tosfos, that Gemara was very, very clear that we do not paskel like a baskel. Now all of a sudden over here, because there was a baskel that said that we follow Beis Hillel, that means we're going to paskel like Beis Hillel. So Tosfos says, first of all, the Yishlomar, Tasam lo yatzal kvodo, kedemucha chasam. It was pretty clear from the context over there that the baskel only came out for the honor of Rabbi Eliezer. It wasn't really there to determine the halacha. So when the baskel is serious, it's really there to determine the halacha, then you listen to a baskel. You just have to know when the baskel is being serious or not, when it's just trying to be there for the covenant of the person. I don't know how you figure that out. Va'od, second answer. The hasam haisa connected rabim, v'atora amrach ram lahatos. Avalacha ad rabba, Beis Hillel havaruba. He says the baskel cannot go against the known halacha in the Torah of Acharav Nahatos. The din in the Torah is that you follow a majority opinion. Baskel can't change that. The majority opinion is going to win. Over here, we needed the baskel. Beis Hillel was the majority, so Beis Hillel should have won anyway. But over here, we needed the baskel to be machriya because we had a competing factor. Yes, Beis Hillel was the rabbim, but on the other hand, Beis Shammai was more charif than Beis Hillel. They were sharper than Beis Hillel. So because you had these two competing issues, Beis Hillel was the rabbim, Beis Shammai was more charif, that's why we needed the baskel to come and tell us that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. But if you have a clear rabbim versus a yachid, a baskel can't tell you to follow a yachid against the rabbim. That's how Tulsa says. Now, Frektus Vasemes, wait a second. If a baskel cannot tell you, if the baskel can tell you that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, only in a case where we would have thought to pass on Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai is more charif, so why don't we say the same thing for Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar was more charif than the Chachamim, because Baskel said Halacha Kamosa B'Kol Makom. Rabbi Elazar was from the Talmid Beis Shammai, that was his whole style, was with charifus, so we should be somich on the Baskel to pass on Rabbi Elazar also, right? You have Rabbi Elazar against Rabbi Shua, or against the Chachamim, so even though the Chachamim are the Rabbim, Rabbi Elazar is more charif than there, and he's got a Baskel on his side. So if a Baskel could tell you, if Rabbim and Charif are balance each other out, and the Baskel's Machriya in such a case, so the Baskel should have been Machriya like Rabbi Elazar. That's the Sfasemis' Kasha. So he's Miyashiv, that Dafka Beis Shammai B'Makom Beis Hillel, where it's not Mamish Yachid against the Rabbim, it's Shaykh to have a suffix that the Charifus would beat out the Rove. But when it's mamish a yachid, it's one person, it's not a smaller group and a larger group, it's mamish one person against the rabbim, then no matter how much charifus that one person has, no matter how sharp that one person is in his learning, it's never going to go against the rabbim. That far, we're not going to go. You don't even need a baskel, cannot even be machria in that direction when you have such an overwhelmingly one-sided machlokes. So Frektosos Viter, Vim Tomer in K, my Kam Rabbi Shua hi, Damarin Mashkichum Baskol, Halalom Rabbi Shua Ella Abaskol de Reb Lazar. The Gemara's next answer is going to be that maybe both lines of the Brisa, both when we say that Allah is like Beis Hillel, and when we say that if you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can, they're both after the Baskol. It's just a question of whether we need to listen to a Baskol. Maybe we are like Rabbi Shua, that we don't need to listen to a Baskol. So asks Tosos, what do you mean if it's like Rabbi Yeshua that in Mashkichin Baskol, that's why you're allowed to do like Beis Shammai? Rabbi Yeshua only said in Mashkichin Baskol on a Rabbi Lazar type of Baskol, but on a Beis Shammai Beis Hillel type of Baskol, we do listen to a Baskol based on what I just told you. Tosos says, no, maybe that Lo B'Shamayim sounds like we don't listen to any Baskol, that it's totally irrelevant meaning that's Rabbi Yeshua Shita, that it's totally irrelevant what a Baskol says, even when everything else is even. Meaning what Tosafot originally wanted to suggest was that something very logical, that a Baskol does not have the ability to be machriya against the halacha. But when we're not sure what the halacha is, so the Baskol could be machriya. It's very similar to the way many of the poskim treat Kabbalah, or things based on Zohar and Arizals and things like that. If it's against the halacha, so you don't do it. So you don't follow Kabbalah against the halacha. But if the halacha has nothing to say on something, or mesupak in the halacha, the halacha can go either way. So then that would be machriya. I think it's generally the Magen Avraham style in how he deals with things that are based on minhagim al pi Kabbalah. That as long as it's not against the halacha, so you could follow it. So it could be machriya when you don't know what the halacha is. That's what seems to be the idea. Now the idea of baskal in general, what does the term mean? Baskol. So Tosfos writes in Masech Sanhedrin that they didn't hear a call directly from Shemayim. Tosfos Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph. They didn't hear a call directly from Shemayim. It was like an echo of a call that came from Shemayim. So they heard like a secondary call, like you would hear an echo from a great distance. So it was that echo that they heard, not the voice itself. So Tosfos Yantif in Maseches Yevamos, in the 16th parak of Yevamos, in Mishnah Vav, says that the Baskol that's mentioned in the Gemara is what they would use after Nevuah ended. It was a call that was invented just for that time period from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to so Hashem could give Sod Hashem Lireyav, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to communicate with those who Yirei Shemayim, and that call they called the Baskol. So Tosfos Yantif asks a very interesting question. So it's a secondary voice, right? That's why we call it a Baskol. Why not a Ben call? We call it a next generation voice. But why is the next generation Dafka a girl? Why isn't the next generation a boy? Why is it a Baskol? Why isn't it a Ben call? So he says it's called a Baskol because it's not on the same level. It's weaker than Nevuah. The whole point is that it was a downgrade. So it's considered like a secondary kind of voice. So we want to show a sense of weakness. So that's why we call it a Baskol, that it's like a Basla Aviyam Ibnei Chalishus Kocha, because it's much weaker than Nevuah. It was a serious downgrade from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to communicate with those who are Yirei Shemayim. So that's why they call it a Baskol. In the Chamra V'Chaye on Masech Sanhedrin, he says in the name of the Rush that Baskol means a kol that was given with a certain midah. That the reason it's called Baskol, Bas is a measurement. It's not a daughter. So it's a Baskol, it's a very measured voice. It's a much more limited way that our Kodesh Baruch Hu communicates with us than otherwise. Okay, so that was all one answer as to how the Braisa could say on the one hand that the Allah is like Beis Hillel, and the other end we're allowed to follow Beis Shammai. V'iba Yisema, bottom line, we're still on today's daf. V'iba Yisema, Vavim Beis, Hava Hala Achar Baskol. That both is the Acher Baskol. Both lines in the Brisa are talking about after the Baskol. Rabbi Yeshua, he the Lo Mashkech beBaskol. But maybe we're assuming like Rabbi Yeshua that we don't care about the Baskol. Baskol doesn't have any effect on the halacha. So therefore you could still follow the Beis Shammai even after the Baskol. The Iba Yisema, third possibility, Hachi Kamar. Kol hechad mishkachas trei tanoi trei amaroi de pligi adadi kein machlokas beisham beisilal lo la avid ki kulei demar v'ki kulei demar v'lo ki chumrei demar v'ki chumrei demar ela o ki kulei demar ki chumrei avid o ki kulei demar ki chumrei avid. So maybe what the Brice is telling us is that when you have an actual machlokas beisham beisilal, you always have to pass like beisilal. When we say that if you want to follow beishamai, you just have to follow him through and through. You want to follow beisilal, you just have to follow him through and through. We're not actually talking about beisham beisilal in that line. Then we're just talking about machlokas in general. If you have a machlokas that's like a machlokas beisham beisilal, meaning we're just defining what machlokas means. You know, like beisham beisilal always have. But this machlokas is between Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, between Rav and Abaye, between someone else, any other people. So then you can choose which sheet to follow. You just have to go with the chumras and the kulas. But it doesn't dafka mean beisham beisilal, because we already know when it's beisham beisilal, you have to follow dafka the sheet of the beisilal. So the Toras Chaim, the Akron Toras Chaim, raised the question, so why would we dafka use beisham beisilal as the example? Why not say somebody else? Just say some other famous Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, go with something else. Why dafka beisham beisilal? So he's miyashiv that because until the days of beisham beisilal, there wasn't that much machlokas. Beisham beisilal pretty much introduced the idea of machlokas. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says like this pretty much explicitly, that in Peiches and Beish, Misharabu Talmidei Beshamai Vehillel Shaloshim Shu called Zorchan Rabu Machlokas Be Yisrael, that there really wasn't all that much machlokas. How many times did Shammai and Hillel argue? Not very often. It was only the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel that there was Rabu Machlokas, that there was so much machlokas in Klal Yisrael. So therefore we hold them up as the paradigms of machlokas. So a couple of more quick points over here. In Deres Eliyahu, he raises the question, why does the, if going back to the first answer, Kan Kodem Baskol, Kan Liachar Baskol, so what do we say? That the Allah is always like Beis Hillel, if you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can follow Beis Shammai. So one is something about before the Baskel, one is something about after the Baskel. Which line is which? The line that the Halach is always like Beis Hillel, that's after the Baskel. The line that if you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can, that's before the Baskel. So it's backwards. The first we said the Halach is always like Beis Hillel, that's after the Baskel. Then we say, you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can, that's before the Baskel. So why is it backwards? So he's mitarit, that since the din of Achra Baskel is a shorter din to say, it's just to say that the Halach is like Beis Hillel, so we go with the shorter, more direct din first. Okay, that's just stylistically it fits better. Then he says that because of this kasha, it was that the Gemara found this answer very dachuk, and that's why the Gemara gave two other answers. The Gemara wasn't satisfied. Kan called him baskel, kan liachar baskel, because it didn't really fit so well. So maybe that's what it is. But then in the Masifta of Yeri, he quotes from the Vayoven Shlomo on Maseches Chulin. I don't know who that is. That which the Brisa says that you know Shtei Chumras is Kseil b'choshech holech, that's only when you know who the halacha is like after a baskel comes out, and you're still going to go and be machmer like both. But if you're mesupak who the halacha is like before the baskel came out, then you're allowed to follow two chumras that associate each other. So that's why he wants to say li'olam halacha gbeis hillel, to show us that dafka in such a situation where the baskel came out and the halacha was already nikva, then it's also to be noik yishtei chumras hasosros. But in a situation where you're mesupak, then you're allowed to be machmer like both shitos. Why is it that we don't listen to a baskel? It seems like a reasonable thing to listen to a baskel. So Rabbeinu Nissim, it's quoted in Shita Mukbetzes and Bab Mitzi over there in the Tanur Shel Achnai Sugya, that the baskel is just coming there as a nisayon. It's to test the chachamim to see if we're going to follow it. But obviously, you have to follow the Torah. The Torah says Acharam Lahatos, so you have to follow what it says in the Torah. You can't follow what the baskel says. Hakadosh Baruch Hu does it as a nisayon, just like any other nisayon, just like every tzaddik viralo nisayon. It's another nisayon that a person has to come through with his emunah intact, in spite of whatever nisyonos a person may have in life. Okay, so now all of that was just an aside. That was all to deal with how do we deal with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But this was all part of a larger question. Yesterday we were discussing the mavwe that's shaped with a bend in it, and we followed the chumras of Rav and the chumras of Shmuel. So this was all to ask the question, how are we allowed to follow the chumras of both shitas? But you're not allowed to do that with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Why are you allowed to do that here? So mikol makom kasha. So now we have the big question mark. So answer the Gemara, there are going to be two ways to deal with this larger question. Number one, Amrav Nachman Yitzchak, Kule Karav Avdua, Damrav Hunam Rav, Halach Vein Morin Kain. We're not following Shmuel at all. We're following Rav's Shita. really Rav would have recommended to follow both of these chumras, because when Rav was makel not to require building a door in a mavui mefulash, it was halacha vein moron kein. He held it as theoretical halacha, but in practice he always would have told you to build the door. So in terms of defining it as a mavui mefulash, that's directly like Rav, and once we define it as a mavui mefulash, building a door, Rav lemaisa would have told us to do that anyway. That's great if you hold that Rav was just holding it theoretically, but he didn't hold practically that you don't need to build a door. But what if you hold that Rav actually said practically you don't need to build a door? Now what are you going to answer? So now we're back to our question. How can you follow the chumras of both shitas? So Rav Shizvi, kilo avdinu kechumri debetrei, hecha desasri adadi, kegon shidru v'gulgolas. When do we not follow the chumras of two opinions? That's only when the chumras are a contradiction to each other, that you can't be so yourself in a psak. That's when we're not allowed to follow the chumras of two opinions. Like a case of Shedra v'Gulgolas. What's the case of Shedra v'Gulgolas? The Tanan, we have a Mishnah. HaShedra v'Gulgolas shechasru, the Mishnah Maseches Chulin and Maseches Alos talks about the Tumah. Tumas Ohel, that a person can become Tame from a dead body by being in the same room as a dead body. So when the dead body is whole, so that's easy. You just have a dead body, so you become Tame. So there are other parts of a dead body, significant enough parts of a dead body, that could also make a person Tame. So the skull and the spine and the skull, Shechasru, that are Chasid, that are missing some bones. So when do they lose the ability to be Metame Ba'ohel? So that's by Tumas Ohel, by a mace, it says, how much of a chisaron in a shedra do you need it to be no longer considered a shedra and be like any other bone where it just has a din of an etzem kisaora? An etzem kisaora, we just learned a couple of days ago when we were learning all the different shiurim, that when the Torah says saora, that's the remez, that's the asmachta to the din of etzem kisaora. Etzem kisaora, though, is mitame, but it's not mitame ba'oel, it's only mitame b'mago mas. If you touch an etzem kisaora, if you carry an etzem kisaora without touching it, by carrying it in a bag or something, it's metame, but not ba'ol. Being in the same room as an etzem kisaora is not metame a person. So when does a spine lose the status of a spine or a skull lose the status of a skull and just become a regular etzem kisaora? That's not metame ba'ol. So the kamach chisaron b'shedra, how much does a spine have to be missing? B'shamayom shtei chulios, it needs to be missing two vertebrae. U'besilom chuliachas, even one vertebrae if it's missing, that would change the nature of the bone to no longer be able to be metame ba'ol. Uba gulgolos, when it comes to a skull, beshamrim kumilom makadeach, the size of a drill hole. Ubesilulamrim kadeshe natal menachai v'yamos, the amount that if a living person were missing that part of his skull, he would automatically die from missing that amount of skull bone. Rav Yudam Shmuel says this same machlokas that we have by Tumah would also be a machlokas legabe treifas, that if this amount of bone were missing, you could assume that we're dealing with a treifa, because it's the same halacha that the skull and the spine are only considered to be a skull and a spine if they're viable enough to keep a person alive. So if whatever you consider not viable enough to keep a person alive would lose the status to be metame ba'ol and would also be considered a treifa. So that's where it's a stira. So to paskin like beishamay in one case, beisil in the other case, it's all the same underlying logic. It's all a metzias issue of how much will keep a person alive. How much does a person need to live? So you can't paskin in one way like beishamay, one way in the issue of treifas like beishamay, in the issue of tumah like beisil, or vice versa. Because that's a direct steer on the underlying reason. But when they're not so to each other, so then it's no problem. Wait a second, when they're so to each other, we won't do like that. Once the mice happened to Rabbi Akiva that he picked an esrog on the first day of Shvat, and he was noeg the meiser of both years. The halacha is that depending on what year you take your produce, it could be chayiv in different meisros. Every year you have to give truma, and you have to give truma to a kohen, meiser rishon to a levi. But in most years, you then take Maaser Sheni, you keep it for yourself and you bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there in Yerushalayim, or you redeem it for money at a Chomesh and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. But in the third and sixth year, instead of keeping your Maaser Sheni and eating Yerushalayim, you give that second Maaser as Maaser Ani. So the dinim of Maasers change based on the year that you're in. So Rabbi Akiva once had an Esrog and how do we count the years? How do we count years of fruits? So Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos is Machlokes Beisham Beisilal, right? Machlokes Beisham Beisilal, whether it's Echad Beshvat or Tu Beshvat. So here he was Malakit and Esrog right in between the two Rosh Hashanah of Beisham and Beisilal. So does this count as the third year where it's a Maaserani year, or does it count as the fourth year where it's a Maaser Sheni year? So Rabbi Akiva was Machmir like both Shitas. He was Machmir to give both. So don't you see, even though it's the same issue, and yet he's knowing Bezi Surin, so it doesn't make any sense to be Machmir like both Shitas. So says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Akiva Gamri is stopping play. V'lo yada, I beisil b'chad b'shvat amur, I b'chamisur b'shvat amur, v'avir hachal l'chumra, v'hachal l'chumra. Rabbi Akiva just didn't know which Shita was Beisilal. He wasn't sure what the tradition was. Was Beisilal the one that said Echad b'shvat, or was Beisilal the one that said Tu b'shvat? Obviously, he was going to paskin like Beisilal. That was not negotiable. He was definitely wanted to paskin like Beisilal. He wasn't interested in being machmir like both Shitos, but he wanted to make sure he got Beisilal right. So that's why he was machmir in that case, and that was acceptable. Tosas raises the question. In Dibur Maskel Kagon, Tos raises the question, it's mashma from the Gemara, that the din v'chein l'treifa goes both on the Shidra and the Gulgolas. We mentioned both the skull and the spine, that there were these machloksim, how much it has to be chaser to lose the ability to be metame. So we assume that same machlokas goes on both the skull and the spine in regards to treifa as well, that both of those shirim are knowing by treifa. Tos Rosh adds, that's a mashma from the Gemara also. It says, shtei chumra sosas razu. It says, what's an example of shtei chumras that associate each other? Kagon, didn't just say Shidra, it didn't just say Gulgolas, it said both, Kagon Shidra v'Gulgolas. Sounds like that the issue in both the skull and the spine is an issue in Tuma as well as an issue in Treifas. Tos raises the question then, why does Beis Hillel say that their shears Kadeshi Natal Menachai the Yamos, according to Beis Shammai also, it's Yamos from that Chisaron. And furthermore, what is Shmuel coming to teach us when he says V'chein L'treifa by Gulgolas? Since that shear is the shear of Yamos, like Beis Hillel says, so you don't have to be done Bo Mishum Treifa anymore. You don't have to talk about Treifa anymore, because obviously that's what Treifa means. That Yamos, that the person is going to die. So Tosfos says that we're talking about a Shir Mesuyim that's missing from the Gulgolas, that when it's taken through rotting of the bone or some sort of illness, the person's not going to die from that Chisaron. It's only if it's Nital Meha Gulgolas, which means it's taken, it's removed by human hands, or by an animal attack or something like that, from that in that amount that the person is going to die. So Basil means to say that if the chisaron is aliday rikavon or choli, if it's by rotting of a bone or by illness, that shear kafisha yamus kshinatul menukain, that shear is going to be the amount that he would die if you would take it from him. Okay, so it's not necessarily the same, synonymous with what would make a treifa. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Yosef Rav Yosef Kamei D'Rafun. Now we're back to Erevin. Yosef Rav Yosef Kamei D'Rafun of Yosef Kamar. Amar Rav Yudom Rav. Machlokas Besrati Mikan Besrati Mikan. Remember yesterday we had this machlokas, three-way machlokas. We have a Mavli Mefulash. It opens up into Rishus Rabim on both ends. So what do? How do you fix the Mavli Mefulash? We had three Shitos and then two Shitos in Amorayim of how to paskin in the three-way machlokas Tanayim. But that was only when it's Mefulash and both sides, Srati Mikan, the Srati Mikan. Srati is another way of saying Rosh Hashanah. It's not another way, it's an example of a Rosh Hashanah. Uplati Mikan. That's another example of a Rosh Hashanah. That's the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos Davav. It says, what is a Rosh Hashanah? A Srati or a Platya? Srati is a place where people go from town to town, a major thoroughfare that leads from one town to another. A Platya is the town square where everyone gathers in that town. So those are the two classic examples of Rosh Hashanah. But what if it's not two classic Rishus Rabbim that either end of the Mavli. Aval Strati Mikan u Bika Mikan. What if on one end it's Strati and on the other end it's a Bika? What's a Bika? Rashi says Carmelis. It's a Bika has the status of a Carmelis. It's Stama, an empty plain, it's mountains, there's no Mechitzos, there's none of that, but it's a Carmelis, not a Rishus Rabbim. It doesn't fit all the qualifications of Rishus Rabbim. Let's say like Rashi's qualification of Shishim Ribo. You don't have Shishim Ribo people that are there, so it doesn't have a dinner of Rishus Rabbim. So one end of the Mavli opens up into a real Rishus Rabbim, the other end opens up into a Carmelis. Oh, Bikamikan, oh, Bikamikan. Or what if you have both ends open up into a Carmelis? So then, Osa Tzurus HaPesach Mikan, Velechi Vekara Mikan. So in that case, you make a Tzurus HaPesach on one side and a Lechi Vekara on the other side. So says the Gemara, Hashta Srati Mikan. If you're going to tell me that when one end opens up into Rosh Hashanah Rabbin and the other end opens up into a Carmelis, it's good enough to have a Tzuras HaPesach on one end and a Lechi V'Kor on the other end, do you need to tell me that if both ends open up into a Carmelis where there's no Rosh Hashanah Rabbin at all, that it's good enough to have a Tzuras HaPesach on one end and a Lechi V'Kor on the other end? Of course it's good enough. That's even less of a problem than a situation where one side is open to Rosh Hashanah Rabbin and the other side is open into a Carmelis. So, Achi Kamer, now this is what we meant to say. Srati Mikan, Ubika Mikan, Nase Kebika Mikan, Ubika Mikan. All we meant to say is that when one end opens into a Rishus Rabbim and the other end into a Carmelis, that is treated the same as if both ends opened up into a Carmelis. And what does that mean, that it's treated the same? It means that all you need is a Tzuras HaPesach on one side and a Lechi V'Kora on the other side. That's all it meant to say. We're not trying to teach two different halachos. We're trying to use one halacha as the model of the other halacha. So that's why it's not a problem of overstating the obvious. Good, so that's the statement that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav has about the Mavui that's Mefulash, a Mavui that's open at both ends. And then we add one more point, and this is where all the confusion comes in. Umesayim ba Mishmed Rabbi Yehuda, they added in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Im haya mavoi kala l'rachva ein tzarech klum. That if the mavoi emptied out at one end into just an empty lot before whatever it was open to, but that empty lot itself opens up into the Rosh Hashanah, then ein tzarech klum. Then it doesn't need anything on the opening to the empty lot of land. Just the lechi korah on the end that opens into the Rosh Hashanah would suffice. But in the side that opens into this empty lot that's not used for anything, it's just a vacated lot, so nothing is going to be required. Amle by the Rav Yosef. Had Rav Yehuda de Shmuelhi. Rav Yehuda, we know, had two primary Rebbeim. We always have throughout Ches. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So pretty much everything Rav Yehuda said was either from something he learned from Rav, or something he learned from Shmuel. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, I'm pretty confident I know who he got this one from. This must have been from Shmuel. This could not have been something that he learned from Rav. Why? De'i de Rav, kasha de Rav ad Rav betarti. If this were something that he learned from Rav, it would be a double stira in Rav. Why would it be a double stira in Rav? Dam Rav Yirmiyah Baraba Amar Rav, because here's what we know that Rav holds. Mavoi shenifretz b'miluo l'chatzer, v'nifretz ha'chatzer kenegdo, chatzer muteres u'mavoi asur. Let's say you have a mavoi whose back end goes directly into a chatzer. The mavoi on one end opens into Rosh Hashanah, then the back end of the mavoi goes straight into a chatzer. And that chatzer goes straight into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on the other side. So in that situation, the chatzer is mutter, the mavoi is aser. If you look at Rashi, chatzer muteres, dilididol lo havi bimilua. Because as far as the chatzer is concerned, it's not entirely opened on that side to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Vinishtairu bagifufin mikan and mikan. The chatzer is wider than the mavoi. So the chatzer may have walls that close off partially the side that's open to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Lefichach legabe dita psachim ninhu. So regarding, as far as the chatzer is concerned, the breach in the wall that opens to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is just a pesach, it's a doorway, but it still has walls that block off that partially block off that side. V'lo asri ala b'nei mavoi, and the b'nei mavoi aren't going to make it asr in the chatzer. Shein mavoi osar al chatzeros hapsuchim lo, because a mavoi is not going to asr the chatzeros that open up up into the mavoi. Aval chatseros osrin b'mavoi. But chatseros have the ability to asar a mavoi. Shai drisas ragleim alav, because people travel all the time from the chatser to the mavoi, not the reverse. Or shusarat, meaning random people from the mavoi don't go to the chatser. If you're going to the chatser, then you go to the chatser. V'rushusarab nami lo asrala, the chatser b'suach lo kepesachu. And it's the rushusarab also won't asar on it, because the chatser that's open to it is like a pesach. But the mavoi is asr. Now here's the key. This is why it goes against Rav. Rashi points out on two points. This is why Rav Yehuda is against Rav over here. Kasal gadaytuch midnakat v'nifritza chatzer kenegdo. From the fact that we say that the chatzer is nifratz kenegdo, which means that the space between the mavoi and the chatzer, the opening between the mavoi and the chatzer is width of, I don't know, let's say 10 amos, so that's the same size as the opening from the chatzer to the Rosh Hasharabim. So as the opening from the chatzer to Rosh Hasharabim is no narrower than the opening from the mavoi to the chatzer. So when you're standing in the mavoi, it looks like you're looking straight at Rosh Hasharabim. You don't see walls blocking off the Rosh Hasharabim at all, because even though if you were standing in the chatzer, you'd see walls blocking off, that's because the chatzer is much wider. So there are partial walls blocking off from the Rosh Hasharabim. But when you're standing in the mavoi, all you see is Rosh Hasharabim. It's completely nifrats into the Rosh Hasharabim. Mishum demechzi kamavoi mefulash. It looks like a mavoi mefulash. It looks like this mavoi opens up into Rosh Hasharabim on both sides. That's why ka'asalei. That's why it's aser. V'lav mishum denifrats l'chatzer. But not because it opens up into a chatzer. The chatzer alone would not do anything. It's only because it looks like it's wide open into Rosh Hasharabim that you have a problem. Rav Yehuda min denakad rach v'ashmin and mishum mefulash lo mitzar uberuchava leka diurin delitzruale. And Rav Yehuda, when he said, talks about an empty lot of land, he's telling us that mefulash alone would not have asred the mavoi. And the empty lot of land has no one living there to make it asr. Aval iav a kala lechatzer asriale. Rav Yehuda implies that had this not been an empty lot of land, had it been a chatzer, then you'd have a problem. Even then it would be aser. L'kaman mefarish tamayu v'hainu d'kasha d'rav ad'rav b'tarti. And this is why it's a double kasha on Rav. Im yishum mefulush, im yishum hanifratz l'chatzer v'asher lebnei chatzer d'nifratz ha'mavi b'melul l'rishus ha'asur alav. So let's summarize. What are the two problems? Why is it a double stira? So first of all, Rav holds that a mavi that's nifratz b'melul l'chatzer v'nifratz l'chatzer k'negdo. The back end of a mavi opens into a chatzer. The back of the chatzer is opened directly into a rishus harabim. It's aser to carry in the mavi, presumably because you can see straight through the back of it to a rishus harabim. That's against what Rabbi Yehuda said about a mavi that opens into an empty plot of land, which opens into a Rosh Hasharabim, not requiring any fixing. He said it doesn't need to be fixed. So even though it's Nifrat B'milui, you can see straight through. That's one reason why Rav Yehuda is against Rav. Second reason, from the fact that Rav Yehuda chose a case of an empty lot of land, seems that he holds that a Mavi that empties into a Chatzer is problematic, even if the Chatzer wouldn't open directly into a Rosh Hasharabim. I mean, it sounds like he holds the Chatzer alone would be enough to ask on the Mavi. Rav only had a problem carrying in a Mavi that opens in a Chatzer when that chatzer actually opens up into Rosh Hasharabim. But it doesn't sound that Rav Yehuda had a problem with that. Rav Yehuda it sounds like Rav Yehuda would have had a problem even if it didn't open up into Rosh Hasharabim. That's why Rav Yehuda Dafka picked the case of an empty lot of land and he did not say chatzer. Chatzer would have been problematic anyway. So that's the double stira between, not stira, but the two reasons why we know that Rav Yehuda can't be saying like Rav. This statement of Rav Yehuda must be going like his other Rebbe, like Shmuel. So Amarlei, so this is what was Abaye's statement to Rav Yosef. Abaye told Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda is going like Shmuel, he's not going like Rav. So Amarlei, Rav Yosef says, Anolo Yadana. He says, I don't know who he's going like. I don't know if he learned it from Rav or he learned it from Shmuel, but I could tell you it could have been either way. Uvda hava b'dura d'ru'usa. But there was a story that happened in Dura d'ru'usa, in the neighborhood of shepherds, of a mavi shekal l'rach v'hava, where it was a mavi that opened up into an empty lot of land. Vasil kameh d'rav Yehuda, and they went to Rav Yehuda, v'lo atzruche v'lo midi. And he didn't require anything. He didn't require them to do anything. V'i kasha mishmei d'rav, tahavi mishmei d'shmuel, v'lo kasha midi. And if you think that doesn't fit with Rav, so then say it in the name of Shmuel, that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, it won't be a problem. But hashta damrle Rav Sheshes Rav Shmuel Baraba, varmle Rav Yosef Baraba, asbrelach kanchi irvu kanch lo irvu. But once you have Rav Sheshes explaining that that there's a difference between whether they made an eruv between them, whether they didn't, meaning the mavui is, when Rav said the mavui is aser, it's not always going to be aser. Sometimes it's mutter. If the bnei chatzer with the bnei mavui made an eruv, then it's going to be mutter. Well, then once you say that, the Rav adarav nami lo kasha kanch irvu bnei chatzer bnei mavui kanch lo irvu. It could just be that there's a difference between whether they made an eruv or not. Meaning, Rav Sheshes is explaining it. What Rav Yehuda's statement does not necessarily go against Rav. Rav only said it's also to carry in the mavui when it did not join the chatzar in an eruv. So the mavui was nifritz on the makom asur lo. It opened right up into a chatzar that was asur to it, a place that you can't carry to from the mavui. Now they carry from the mavui into the chatzar. But had it been opened into an empty lot of land, which is not a makom ha'asur lo, which are rechava, not a chatzar, maybe Rav would agree with Rav Yehuda's statement that it's mutter to carry in the mavui. So don't bring me a raya that Rav Yehuda must have said like Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was talking about a case of a makom ha'mutterlo, of a rechava. Rav was talking about a case of a chatzer, and that's why he was more machmir, because in the case of a chatzer it's a makom ha'asurlo. Okay, we'll continue with that tomorrow. These are some of the tougher sugyas in Erev Shabbos.